Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Okay, have we been recording?
Break
oh, we have.
Oh, wow.
Oh, is that
yeah,
like...
Yeah, because I'm bored.
I don't know what's happening. Was there like a playlist this morning?
That's my jam right now.
Michael is jamming out to that song. Oh. Go ahead, baby. Do it again.
No. I'll do background.
Break up with the government. You did it so good.
Yeah, you actually
that
did.
That was so good. Now he's all jealous. Easton got it, so he's going to replay that.
As the opening tune.
As the opening tune.
I'm more of like a, oh, you like my hair? Just bought it. Or how does it go?
No, not like that,
right?
Apparently.
Not like that.
Thank you. It's about her hair, right? You like my hair? Gee, thanks. Just bought it. I see it. I want it. You don't know?
Guys.
Mike is looking at me like.
I don't know. I don't know that one.
What? Okay.
I don't know who sings that one. Who sings it?
Is that Ari?
Ariana Grande.
Ari.
Hello. So you guys didn't have the playlist going this morning.
No,
he just likes that one song. He's been like jamming too. So Mike's been singing Ariana Grande. I've been walking around just like super hyper this morning. So happy Monday, ladies and gentlemen.
This Monday.
This is super exciting. Hey, but I really want to get into something because it's been on the news. It's been a topic of conversation and I really want to debate it with all of you guys.
I think that was going to be my question too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So honey, I know you've been dead to the world for the past couple of weeks because you've had that cold.
Oh, stop.
He's still.
Ew, there was some phlegm in there.
Yeah. Still getting over it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I can tell it. I can hear it.
So basically, did you hear any of the news going on about Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin?
Okay.
Who?
Okay, so Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin were arrested.
Who are these
Lori
people?
Aunt Becky.
Are you serious?
Okay, that's what I thought. But yeah.
The queen of Hallmark and Aunt Becky. So Lori Loughlin got arrested.
Okay.
For, and Felicity Huffman. Basically, the FBI raided their house and arrested her.
Amazing.
Not really, but
there was like a huge investigation.
Because of the college scheme. Sheem? So how do you say
scheme.
Is it scheme? Sheem?
Sheem.
The sheem.
Oh, yeah.
Scheme.
What?
Scheme.
What happened?
I read the affidavit. I got really into
it. Okay. So why don't you give the background since you have all the major
Long
info.
Story short, there was a man who was running like an underground scheme where...
Sheem.
Where really rich...
That's how the rich people say it.
Jana would say.
Where really, really like... Not even like rich, but like major company execs and CEOs and like obviously these actresses, people with a lot of money were paying him so that he could ensure that their children got into Yale, Harvard, USC, Northwestern, George, all these major universities.
On athletic scholarships?
Yeah.
But they weren't actually athletes.
Yeah. And
also like Felicity Huffman paid, I think it was $15,000 for a better SAT score.
So he had someone
to
in
get
like
into the community, into the college.
He had like 10 people around the country who would go take the test for your kids. But like, I mean, some of these people were paying $500,000.
Somebody paid $1 million.
I know. It's like really, I mean, I was watching this thing and they're like, holy blue collar crime. And I'm like, yeah, but like, that's a lot of money.
Okay.
So
I'm on two. Were you good? Is that what you're going to ask?
So that's what I was going to ask. Cause I'm like, I don't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's a huge debate like, oh, but you would do anything for your kids. Mm-hmm. So that's my question. Like, what's the extent?
I have two very different sides to this and everyone's like, oh, those rich spoiled kids.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. If you had the money to do it now, I don't know which side I'm on two very different sides. Cause I can see two different sides. The one side is, well, people pay for private school.
Yeah.
That's giving your child a life of, you know, maybe better learning, better quality of school, better classroom. So you're paying, you know, I have a girlfriend that's paying over $30,000 a year in just private school.
Yeah.
And for us, I'm like, well, we can't afford $30,000 a year for private school. And the public school, it's fine. So, you know, we're sending Jolie to, you know, obviously the public school in Nashville is amazing. So, you know, we're good there. But I mean, is there really a difference? Because people are paying for private school. I get, and this is where, I get where Jolie, what if, here's the thing. I was a terrible test taker.
Yeah.
I didn't even take the SATs. Yeah. I only took the ACTs. And I mean, because I knew I wasn't going to college, but I did awful because I was a bad test taker. If my daughter was a bad test taker, but she had the qualifications yes, if you needed the score to be in the school, I would do anything for her.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I guess that might make me a bad parent, but she has to sustain how she is now in that school then. So that's on her then. If I can help her get her in,
yeah.
Then it's just like someone's going to help someone to get into a film if they know somebody.
I think the difference between this is, though, from what I read, it was like 500 pages. I didn't read all 500. But like it was a lot of like, okay, we need to ensure that my son doesn't find out. There was a situation where she was like, the guy, one of the dads emails the main guy, and he was like, my son was just in orientation and they asked him how he feels about doing track and how excited he is, and he literally was like, I'm not in track, like, what are you talking about? And so I think, so then the dad panicked.
Well, and Lori too was said that her daughter was in the rowing crew, which, so I don't really necessarily agree with that side of the...
This is the thing, these people have so much money, it's like, get a tutor, get this, get that, they can all afford it. But I don't blame the kids, because I don't know if these kids were dying to go to that school as much as their parents were. I mean, these families were like, you know what I mean? It's like the parents really wanted them to get into.
It's 100% more for the parents to be like, my son or daughter goes to an Ivy League
school. Exactly.
But I don't think so, though.
100%.
I agree. I disagree. But for me personally, I think I don't care. I told you, I don't care if Jolie goes or not. And we've had major disagreements about that.
Yeah, she's going to college. But yeah. Yeah, she's going.
But if she chooses not to, I can't get upset with her, because that's her life that
but
she's...
But I think you're way more understanding than these like high exec families were like, oh no, you're going to Yale.
Right.
You're
especially
going to
the people
Harvard.
That have the money to that $500,000 or $1 million to spend to get their child into that school. It's so the parent... It is... A lot of it has to do with their ego, because they are high-end execs that had that education or didn't have it and want to say that their kids have it. But also, I'm not saying it's purely selfish based on the parents. It is also, like you said, honey, to get them in the door. Like, we'd do anything to get Jolie or Jace their foot in the door.
In the door.
It's up to them to maintain the grades to stay at a Harvard or to stay at a Columbia or these schools that they're trying to get into.
I
will say, though, what bothers me about that is the kids that really work hard
to get in there. I know, and that's what
there. And no, that's where it, that's the other side.
In one
where,
of the quotes, it was like, I forget which parent said it, but it's not funny. But
you're laughing.
But I'm laughing. No, because she goes, okay, well, we just need to ensure that they get in here. We need to ensure that she gets into this school and not just ASU. I went to ASU.
That's amazing.
So obviously these parents, that's what I mean, is the parents were like, oh, no, you're not going here. You know what I mean? It's like, what does it matter where the kid goes to school? The kid's going to part, you know, I don't know.
Well, Ryan Seacrest was talking about it, you know, to bring up an iHeartRadio, you know.
Plug,
but Ryan and Kelly were talking about it, and I agreed with Kelly when she said, no, I want my children to work for it. And that's the thing. That's on the one side of the spectrum where I want Jolie and Jace to work for everything, and I don't want to just be like, oh, here's some money, pay it off. But having said that, if my child has, for example, Jolie has a speech delay. She's been, you know, we've been working with that with her. If I had an opportunity to pay to get her to a better place, I would do
it. Oh, no, but that's the argument, is that, you know, I know a lot of kids too who had learning disabilities, so they had to go to a doctor, they had to get a note that they allow special time for their tests. Mm-hmm. So that's the argument, is like, well, that's not fair. My child has a severe testing disability, but you're going to pay $50,000 so that he can do...
So Kelly was saying this with the Kelly and Ryan show. She was saying that test is exhausting for the child. Yeah, I mean, where it's just like that child with the disability, it takes so much out of them that they are physically exhausted. So sometimes it would be easier just to be like, here's the $50,000 to...
But is that... Do you teach your children that? That's what's hard.
That's where I'm like, I would do anything for my child, but I want her to
work. Would you break the law for your child?
Yes.
Okay. Because I think that's the basic question.
Well, again, it depends.
If someone hurt my child, I'd go probably to jail.
Okay, but that's what the argument is. Like, these people didn't. It was like a selfish crime, because most of these kids don't even know their parents did it.
And the difference too is, it's different investing the money and paying to get additional help or expert help for your children.
Yeah,
that's one thing. That's fine. But what they're doing is basically saying, buying them an A, or buying them a test grade, or buying them admission into a school, which I don't think is right. Now, one can say that because of a high-end exec, because of where they went to school and the alumni following and stuff like that, that maybe they know the person on the admissions board and they got in because of who you know. Well, that's just life in general.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But paying to get into the front of the line.
Well, and I think it was the paying versus like the intricate lying. It was like, let's Photoshop our child's face onto this to make them look.
Well, yeah, and they're going under the false pretense of them being a student athlete. Which is taken away from opportunities for a student athlete.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Who is trying to get in. I wouldn't have gotten into JMU if it wasn't for football.
Of course.
And I got a great education because of it. So there's a lot of kids that are athletes in high school that kind of bank on their athleticism to get them into a school they probably wouldn't get into otherwise. So that's taken away, which is even harder for a student athlete to go to an Ivy League school and stuff like that because of the time commitment and everything that, you know, they have with sports along with the academic side. So to take that away from a student athlete who has two lives like that, that's even
I think that's
worse
like the common consensus is that people are just really feeling for like, well, what about all the other kids? I feel for the actual kids because
Do you though? Because Lori Loughlin's daughter was like yachting it on a yacht when her mom got arrested.
If they don't know, I feel bad for them because like I was very fortunate growing up, but like I never felt pressure. My whole family went to University of Texas. I'm not getting in there. There was a 0% chance. I think I took the SAT hungover. There was a 0% chance that I was getting in there. And I knew, but there was never any pressure from my dad. You know what I mean? So I feel for these kids being like, there was obviously pressure. There was obviously something to where these parents, I don't know. I just,
if there was pressure, then that's not cool. I just want to go on because I'm sure I'll get bombarded for this, but for me personally, no, I wouldn't give, money to do that kind of shame. But if I had the opportunity to help my child to get a better,
which anyone would,
I think it's
place than I would. Now to go to those extents. I don't believe that I would do that. Because the kid that worked so hard in rowing that lost a spot to, you know, the kids that academically work so hard. Well, but I will do whatever I can to make sure she has the best opportunity if for some reason she is still delayed and has those issues.
It's just sad because
knowing that she can be in those schools and thrive in those schools.
Of course. And now these parents gave $500,000 and now I don't know, but it's like some of their bails were so expensive. Like I just read this morning, their bails were so expensive. So it's like, you really just ended up double effing yourself because you gave all this money and now you're getting caught and now you might do jail time. You might not.
So that's the thing. I mean, is jail time, what do you guys think about that? I mean, do you think that's something that they should go to jail for?
I don't know if they.
No, I don't know if anyone will really serve serious jail time. It would be more about fines, community service, probationary, stuff like that. I don't know if it all depends on.
Some of them are way more intense because some of them, it went into taxes because they gave much money to a fake.
Well, and time out. That's the good right there. What about the person that says, because I'm sure there is a ton of people that say, you know, they have the money. I want my child to go to the school because they want to go to the school. They don't have the grades, but I will pay about this much to help with your college.
Oh, boosters. And all that stuff. Yeah.
You know that happens. What is the difference? Why aren't those people?
Because
it's,
those are the same people though, getting their child an opportunity.
It's not guaranteed. So you could give like $1 million, donate a building, but it's not guaranteed that your child gets in. No.
It's not directly. There's no way to paper or legally attach you giving that money to your child getting in.
We have a friend.
It could be very coincidental.
But the chances are not high. This was guaranteed. You're giving 50,000. You're giving 100.
But the chances, you said, are high if they boost?
No, the chance, you have to give like 7 million in order to officially get them in. We have we know someone who gave a lot of money to a school and the children did not get in. And so they're now doing 2 years somewhere else and then they will transfer. So this was just a guaranteed. Every person, I think this guy said he did it 900 times. He got every kid in.
That's crazy.
He made $24 million or something. This underground guy. So he's locked up.
So that's the thing. I would say he needs to have.
Oh, no, for sure. But so he became an informant for the FBI like 3 years ago.
Oh, that's
no. Pissed.
Yeah. So that's how they have all this. That's how he has all the emails. You guys, it is like juicy. This is going to be a movie. Like these email chains are like insane.
So wait, so they basically caught him and then said instead of having jail time.
He's going to end up having it. But obviously it was like reduced, you know, they're like, if you cooperate with us, because he's been doing this for, I mean, we're going to find out so many more people. The 50 are the ones since he started working with the FBI.
Wow.
But he's been doing it. He said 900 students.
I will say, I can see where, I mean, you know, you guys can attest to this. Like when you go to a school, you really do like bleed those colors, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
You are attached to it, right? So
I mean, Tori's like, even, yes, 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 yeah.
UCLA. Right. So
they're busted too.
It's just,
sorry.
Right.
Allegedly.
So there's just so much of you that just gets like, you know, caught up in that atmosphere and want to follow your school. So I had a small taste of it just with my brother, with him deciding where to go to college. And my alma mater, James Madison, was kind of in the running for a little bit. And when
your dad went there, you went there.
My dad went there. I went there. I you know, my brother grew up going to the games, watching me play. And I will always bleed purple. And it's just one of those things, right? So, but even just my brother kind of going through that situation and him ultimately not choosing JMU because he had a better opportunity elsewhere, it still kind of sat sour with me. Yeah. Like, I'm still kind of like, I really, really want him to go to JMU, you know, kind of like through
so
my
Julie's
teeth.
So Julie's going
but,
to JMU.
Right.
Well, so.
But I have to kind of bite my tongue and realize what he wants, what's best for him, and put those feelings aside. So I can't even imagine with my own child being
it's
like,
sticky.
I want, you know.
So let's say Julie actually does want to go, because I don't believe that those 900, how many students?
There was over like 900, I think he said.
I don't believe that those, all of them didn't want to go to that college. I'm sure they're like, please, like, help me, you know, because I want to go to this college. Like, I really want to get
in.
Yeah, but
they
probably didn't think it was to the extent that he was doing. It's probably like, your mom and dad's probably like, hey, this guy will help you get into school. They probably didn't know the legal aspect of it.
One of the emails said, what do I tell my son? Because he's going to ask, how did he get in? And the guy was like, just let him know that you're really good friends with the athletic director. They said he would help. Like, so it's just so many lies. Like, very detailed lies. That, I don't know, I feel like you guys are such, I don't think you could pull this off.
Oh, I could.
I feel like you're so honest, like with Joel, like you guys are going to be such best
friends. No, but again, I want the best opportunity for her. That's why we have a speech therapist coming every Friday to make sure that she is, you know, because she is delayed. And
I would be mad at my parents if I found out this was them.
See, that's interesting.
I got in a heated debate with someone, I would be mad at my parents. Because I would be like, first of all, you think I'm not effing dumb? Like, I needed help.
Well, but if you didn't get the high score, though, and maybe you didn't need help and you weren't a good test taker, I can see totally what you're saying, Sarah.
But now what if they're, like, in jail? I'd be like, WTF. Like, now you guys are leaving me because, like, you wanted me to go to the school. So, like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, I would be mad at them and be like,
But what if it's a school you really wanted to go into and that you did want the help?
I would just be really sad. I'd be like, I feel like, I'm sure the kids are feeling really guilty because I'm telling you, once you read these emails, it's so sticky that I'd be like, my dad said, like, what?
There's two different personalities really in that.
Hard.
Like, there's some kids that probably don't give a damn.
I think.
Like, that probably just like, oh, well.
That was like a damn versus a dang.
Yeah.
I love
dang.
That. I don't know. It's just sad. It's a little weird.
It's interesting hearing your perspective, though, because
I don't have.
Well, because you don't have kids, and that's.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that in a bad way at all. It's just interesting to see that perspective because I never thought of it from how Jolie would feel.
Yeah.
I'm taking it as such a selfish way to be like, I want the best for my child.
And I'm just looking at it as like, because I remember my dad being like, do you want to go to UT? And I was like, I mean, it's not like he could give $5 million, but I remember him being like, do you want help? And I was like, I don't really care.
Ultimately, you don't want your kids to have to settle.
Yeah.
And neither does Joybird, because they believe that you should never settle when it comes to your home furnishings. With Joybird, you get one-of-a-kind furniture made to your unique taste. From mid-century modern to contemporary classics, all that kind of stuff. What are we doing in our house? What kind of theme are we doing? Rustic modern farmhouse.
Yeah, like a rustic modern farmhouse kind of thing.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, they can match that too. Each Joybird piece is made by hand with care and precision using high-quality hardwood and responsibly sourced materials to fit our rustic, modern farmhouse look.
I love that.
And there is a 365-day home trial, so we can skip the furniture store and bring the showroom straight to us. We can sit on it, sleep on it, break it in, If you don't love it, you can return it.
So refund. That sofa that we're going to use, basically, you get to sit on it, make sure it's comfortable. And if you don't like it, we can just return
and
it.
And if like, Jay spits up all over it and can't get it out, I'm like, here you go, Torbert.
No.
No?
It's not what you do.
Never know.
I just love that they have so many different choices, though. And they have, like I said, modern to contemporary classics. I don't know. I think it's just nice to be able to chill with it for a second, you know?
Yeah. It's all, a lot of it is kid and pet friendly, which we have two kids and two dogs. So it's.
Yeah. I love it.
It'll work for us.
See how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/Jana. Go to joybird.com/Jana and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code Jana. Ooh, I'm so excited right now. What?
Okay.
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 So I'm... What'd you say?
Good.
So I'm really excited because we have Dorothy the Organizer in the Wind Down Studio.
All
right. So let me just tell you a little bit about yourself, Dorothy. You are the America's most innovative professional organizer. She is known to millions as the fearless yet endearing problem solver on the Emmy-nominated TV show on A&E, Hoarders.
Yes.
Ooh. We're so happy to have you in studio with us.
Thank you. My first time here with you, and you're gorgeous.
Oh, my gosh.
In the real deal, seeing you face to face.
I don't have any makeup on right now, so I'm feeling real nice right now. Thank you. I appreciate you.
See, I like natural. Less is more sometimes.
Just like with, less is more. There you go. Less is more.
I gotcha.
I like it. So I feel like I have the opposite of a hoarder because when I love moving, I love organizing, I love packing. So I know that's the weirdest thing, but I love getting rid of sorry, Easton. I just love it. I think it's the most freeing thing and just being like, I'm always like, get rid of it. Give it away.
I'm the same.
Sell it to, or like, or give it to a friend. I don't know what it is, but I just think it's.
We'll buy a new one. Oh, okay.
No. I don't know what it is. I think it's just, you feel light afterwards.
Well, let me say this about that.
Okay.
You're hired.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be great at this.
Oh, I would just, because anytime my girlfriend and I are moving and I was like, oh, let me come over and help like, you know, purge and splurge and put it away and pack
like
it up.
Like one of 3% of the people in America who really love to just keep it neat and organized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations.
But isn't that bad though too? Isn't there, maybe I'm. There's like two extremes, a hoarder and then me, where it's like, just give it away and then you want nothing. No knickknacks, no nothing.
Well, sometimes, let me just ask you, might you have a situation or a problem with perfectionism?
Why do you look at me like that?
Husband's looking at her.
She asked a question.
I don't think so.
No.
No?
What do you think?
A little bit.
Perfectionism?
I would say we're both on the spectrum.
Really?
Because I even am too.
Like with what though? I'm just curious.
Oh.
You like things done the way you like them done.
Your way.
Yeah. I like things done timely.
On your timeline,
and
your way.
So if I said to Michael, so let's say this is, you know, his water. I say, hey, this is sitting on the table. I said, hey, baby, will you put that away? And he'll go. And I'm like, no. He'll
all
move it like
away.
Like
yeah.
all the way away. Yeah, so yeah, I guess yeah. that's where I am a little bit
okay.
more like, let's place it in the proper place.
Well, that
immediately
sounds to me like a great house to live in. I don't know. I'm ready to move in.
Come on.
Great. So what do you think it is like with hoarders that they have that? Is it the connection to the things or is it the memories or?
Yeah, a little bit of that. But what I really want you to think about is, okay, wait a second here. Like an alcoholic, perhaps, or someone who gambles or someone who shops too much. You know, you don't have one reason why it all happens. If I said to someone who drank too much, why are you doing it? And then asked another person, they would have different answers. But the common theme is that I guess it really boils down to some trauma in, you know, your past life or the anxiety to deal with feelings, you know, all these feelings. So it's really what's underneath the clutter or underneath the hoard on the Hoarder Show.
How do you distinguish when it comes down to something that may be legitimately sentimental? Say, Jana's brother texted her the other day and talked about, you know, that one box everyone has when they move. That's your high school yearbooks and stuff that you feel is so nostalgic. But what are you really going to do with them? How do you distinguish like what's truly important to keep and stuff like that? Maybe that may still be nostalgic, but it's like, okay, you can let that go.
Yeah. So, Michael, you mentioned something where you said, one box mm-hmm. of nostalgia right. stuff. You know, that's fine. That's normal. It should happen.
These people have like...
But on our hoarder show, it's an entire house of all of that because everything has a meaning to them. Mm-hmm. But if we're just talking about your listeners or viewers, what we want to say is, you know, use my five-point value system in order to make a decision.
So and what is that?
Yeah, you have a whole collection of... Do you have a collection of anything, either of you?
Well, I mean, I'll say I have that bag with all my high school, like you said, yearbooks and albums and pictures. But again, I haven't looked at it in
but
years.
It's for like Jolie. It's to like show your kids, right?
Do you look at your parents' stuff though? My brother asked me that.
Kind of. Like, when I go home, I like to look. My mom has when my grandparents died, they kept a lot of stuff. And my mom was like, oh my God. He had letters. My grandpa, she was like, what? Like,
yeah, some of those things are so adorable yeah. to go through at some point. But if you are questioning
like
whether to keep, yeah, if you're somebody who keeps a whole bunch of tools. In a garage, mm-hmm. you know, then I want to say 5-point value system. Pick your favorite tool. Which one is it? Show it to me. Okay. That's five. That's a five. Nothing else in here can be a five. Or maybe it's your favorite t-shirt collection. Show me a five. The number one t-shirt that's most exciting and that you want to keep of your collection.
Oh.
And then you start going through all the other ones. Nothing else can be a five. Is it a four? Is it a three? Is it a two?
Oh, interesting.
Is it a one? And you rate each item. So those items that rate one and two, the ones with the holes and the stains, maybe they go out. And you keep the five and a couple of the fours on that 5-point value system.
Is that kind of the same thing too? Because I've with kids and we have a 3-year-old and a 3-month-old. And what we've kind of done is I've taken things like from Jolie that first year, like I don't want to get rid of that one onesie that I loved of seeing her
yeah.
in. You know, I want to be able to look back and be like, oh my gosh, look how little you were, you know, and give her some of these things maybe for her kids. But when is that too much too? Do I have to use the 5-point with that? Because I think everything is five because it's so sentimental because they're my kids.
Right. I know. Well, it comes to a point later on mm-hmm. where, see, you still might be at the point where you're accumulating things. Mm-hmm. There are three stages of getting organized or being organized or collecting clutter. So the first stage is just getting our independence. We have our own style, our own way of designing and furniture, our own friends. We're collecting people, places, things. And then we go to the second stage where we have to manage all the crap that we just collected. And then the third stage is hopefully getting rid of the stuff. So you might still be in the first stage where you're still in the collecting. The problem with the people on the hoarder show on A&E is that they are forever in the collecting stage. So even if they're in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, they're still collecting and it doesn't work.
Can I ask? Oh, sorry.
No, go,
so,
go, 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 go. Baby. No, go ahead, because mine's an easy question. I'll remember.
Man. Okay. Are you all right, babe?
I'm dying.
Oh, God.
He's had the man cold for like a month. What, age-wise, do you see it primarily in older people, or do you, like, what's the age range that you see for hoarders?
Yeah, so most people think it's just people in their older years.
Yeah, because that's kind of my thought. I'm like, oh, okay, my grandparents probably or that age range,
yeah.
16 up.
And we see it more there because they don't have as many friends. Mm-hmm. They don't have as many family members coming to visit.
Mm-hmm.
People who are younger are people, you know, we're having
yeah.
guests over. We're having kids. But we have a lot of folks who are younger who are in the hoarding Yeah, they're hoarders.
Do you start with, sorry, Sarah, I know you
know.
Do you
no.
start with inside first, like inside their, like what's going on first with them before you touch their stuff?
That's kind of like my question. I was just going to be like, do you think there's something like.
Yeah. Yeah, there is something. You know, I know you're going like.
Like, is there something going on up there?
In the brain area. Yeah, there is.
Like, don't you have to work with that first before you say, okay, get rid of that?
Yeah, there's two parts of it. I mean, mm-hmm. there's the wiring. Some of us are just like your frontal lobe.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna, it is completely wired for organizing and mm-hmm. other people are not. But for those people who do hoard, yeah, there's something that's missing for them. And it could be, the missing could be a person. It could be a job loss. It could be a major illness. You know, all of these things trigger some sort of anxiety that you just can't deal with.
So it's like a form of anxiety, basically.
Can be.
But then walking over their stuff to get to their room, how does that not give them anxiety?
No, you that's know? Comfort.
Oh, that's
like
comfort.
Seeing
that just gives me so much anxiety.
Because we're like, psycho. So we're like, oh, I don't want anything.
But some people can barely get to their room with as much stuff they have.
Barely get in the door. I mean, we've had situations on the Hoarder show where we can't even open the door. We were in New York City in a 5-story walk up and could not get in.
It's not healthy probably too. It's sanitary.
Yeah.
Is there one, I'm sure everyone has something different that maybe they want to collect or hoard specifically, but is there one universal kind of topic or concept that they like to hold on to across the board that people have an issue with? Is it stuff of nostalgia? Is it just their own collectible? Is there anything universal across the board for the people that you've seen?
Yes. Recycling.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, this is where a lot of the people who are not hoarders get stuck as well, because we want to be good to the planet. Now, if you're a person who hoards, then you say, well, I'm trying to recycle. So I have all the plastic, I have all the paper, I have all the food, I have everything, and I'm keeping it to reuse it. Oh. And I've got a great idea to reuse it, whether it's a boat in the backyard, whether it's goats in the backyard who've chewed their way through the house. Real true story from Hoarders on A&E. Goodness. Really true. The goats chewed through the house into the house. Doesn't matter what it is, there's a purpose. So if you feel like, oh, you have a purpose for everything, you're going to hold on to a whole lot more.
Is that why, like, I feel like anytime I've seen the show, stacks of newspaper or stacks of paper, like, everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Stacks of paper everywhere, because there are great ideas that they, when the printer is working, Michael, when it's working, just like the plumbing or the electricity, if it's working. But when the printer's working, they print out all these documents on the how to do something. They are definitely going to DIY it, and they're going to take care of it.
What drew you to this lifestyle of helping others unhoard? Like, what does your house look like? Are you the organized Nancy?
You know? Yeah, you could come Dorothy. Or Dorothy. Yeah.
Nancy the organized.
My house is really organized, and I'm married to somebody who's really, really organized. So we get along really well and travel well together. But this dropped in my lap. Now, mind you, I tend to work with all of the celebrities here in Los Angeles. I'm really lucky. So I get to go in and organize beautiful homes. Mm-hmm. But most people just know me from the Hoarder show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it dropped in my lap. There was this gentleman here in the Los Angeles area. He had 5,000 bikes and bike parts inside his house.
Stop.
Yeah, and he was sleeping outside his house on a recliner chair. So he was going to jail, and that was like 20 years ago. And then the Hoarder show found me, and I was on the pilot, and then I was a technical producer helping everybody learn how to deal with this hoarding situation.
And now you're a best-selling author, and your current book is Stuff Your Face or Face Your Stuff. I love that.
Yeah.
That's a great title.
You know what happened, don't you?
What happened?
So I was on the set of the Hoarder show, and I had this realization at 200 pounds that I was hoarding sugar and flour around my body the same way my clients were hoarding things in their house. And I thought, this has got to stop. So I took off 75 pounds wrote a book on how the parallels, because I really feel like I identify with these people who can't stop bringing things in.
Yeah, right. That's so fascinating, because at first you probably didn't identify at all. Yeah, exactly. Like, what introspection on your part to see that?
Yeah. Well, a little embarrassing to share about, but
no. Right. I think that's just that's makes people more.
I'm sure that's like a major correlation between like people overeating or hoarding food, basically.
Well, imagine if I'm overweight and someone comes in and wants to take away my just baked cookies and milk, how I'm going to feel about, like, get your hands off my stuff.
Wow.
That's and so that's interesting.
How these people feel on the Hoarder show with us.
Which is airs Tuesday at 8/7 Central on A&E. And then you have the 10minutecloset organizer.com, which I need to read, because we're moving to Nashville, and I got to figure out how we want to organize the closet. So what's like your biggest tip on that for closets?
Yeah, for closets, it's really how you like to organize it. So it's a customized solution. Okay. But are you a person who likes to organize by category or by color or by usefulness? Like, does it need to go to the dry cleaner? Do I need to have it mended? Do I have to have it ironed? Whatever these things are, or by days of the week if you have kids. So there's like 10 different families of these closet dividers that you can used to organize our closet.
Where can our listeners, I mean, could people hire you if they're in the LA area, or are you kind of not available forever?
Oh, yes. I have my assistant with me all over. And it's not just the California
like,
area.
Could we fly you to Nashville?
Absolutely. Oh, we fly all over.
Oh, love.
Yeah, okay. Japan, Australia, name it, we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be fun.
I love
that. Hired.
Come on.
Done.
Dorothy, thank you. Where can our listeners find you then?
DorothyTheOrganizer.com. And actually, my show is coming up this Tuesday night on March 19th on A&E.
Love it.
For hoarders.
Awesome.
Yay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Dorothy,
thank
for coming.
You. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
I loved her.
I did too.
She was really sweet. Here's something that a lot of people have, though, that they hoard. Mattresses. You seen the show where they have all these mattresses?
Really?
Yeah. This one guy was like sleeping on seven mattresses.
I have a mattress in storage that I haven't used in like 3 years.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
I hope it's a storage unit with just a mattress. That's it.
No, I think there's like a desk in there and like some boxes.
So basically someone lives in that storage unit.
Ew.
Oh. Speaking of mattresses, though, we are going to have Sleep Numbers in all of our Nashville bedrooms. And we're super pumped because the new Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds helps everyone from parents to pro athletes, baby, improve their daily performance through proven quality sleep. And again, I always say that you spend half your life in bed, and I think you deserve to have an amazing bed and mattress.
Is it half your life?
For me,
or
yes.
A third of your life? Once you have kids, it's no longer a half your life. It's like a third.
I know. But no, seriously, it's just, I just need a comfy bed because I do a lot of work from my bed. You know, we do our laundry in bed. I mean, everything. But my favorite, you can set your setting. So like, baby, you can have a setting. I can have a setting.
Yeah, because I like it soft. You like it harder.
Ooh, that's
okay.
Okay.
I won't make the joke.
But you can come in now and save up to $500 on a select Sleep Number 360 smart beds. That's, you're saving $500. That's crazy.
We have to have fun on Janice's side of the bed though, because mine's too soft. So there's no like, you know.
You guys, there are so many sexual jokes.
Okay. All I'm saying is that, you know, with Sleep Number 360, you can choose your ideal firmness on each side. So again, whatever side works for you, you get to choose it. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com/Jana to find the one nearest you and get $500 off. So before we get to our next guest, I really just need to talk to you guys about Lola, because Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. Sarah?
Yes.
It's so annoying when you run out of tampons. I don't know. In my opinion,
worst.
It just is. So it's, you know, for me, like with Lola, I always know, well, and Michael always knows too, when the Lola box comes, it's like, oh, she's on her period.
Stay clear.
Stay clear. But I just love it too, because I don't need the light. I want just the ones that I want.
Yeah. Now I have. Yeah. Now I don't have to go out and buy them for Jana anymore.
Exactly.
Would Ty go buy some for you if you asked him?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
If I asked him.
That actually kind of surprises me.
Yeah.
Same.
I don't know if he would.
Really? I know he's bought. Yeah.
Okay. He'd probably buy like an overnight, like one of those big pads.
Like, depends.
Like, yeah, literally.
Is this what you wanted? Like,
okay. Yeah. He would.
But
okay.
With Lola, though, it's really easy because it's a subscription that comes once a month, just or whenever you need it. Basically, you can change the amount or frequency of delivery. They're super flexible, the subscription, that is. You can change, skip, or cancel your subscription at any time. And again, they're all BPA-free plastic applicators. So it's good for the environment, good for you. Again, 100% organic cotton. BPA. For 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter Jana when you subscribe. You do not want to miss this. Get 40% off all subscriptions today and visit mylola.com and enter Jana. So Christy Morrell is here. Hey,
hi.
Love. Welcome to the
Hey,
Wind Down
welcome.
Studio.
Thank you.
I'm Jana. This is my husband, Michael. And this is Sarah.
Hi.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
So we kind of talked about it last week's episode. Was it last week's episode? About
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Yeah. And Sarah, you texted me something really interesting. Do you want to share? Or no?
I'm never safe.
What did we talk about? I don't even know.
Well, we talked about, about the scale, about how I realized that that was something that I could control, was the number on the scale. So that became kind of my
thing. The lady basically said that, like, it's your way of control. You can't control things, so you control the scale or something?
Yes.
So I kind of just came to realization where we were talking about, like, you know, I wouldn't say I'm like addicted or,
no,
but it's a control thing. Working out for me is a control thing because I feel like in other aspects of my life, I might be not in control and I'm a control freak. And so I kind of, I was on the treadmill as I'm listening to this lady tell Jana, and I'm like, I think that's my thing. Like, I think I get cranky, or I get like, if I don't work out, it's like becomes a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that might be my little addiction.
Way of controlling something.
It's my, yeah. Cause like, if I know, okay, I went and I was on the treadmill for this long and, you know.
Yeah. So I think same with the scale. Once it becomes obsessive and once it becomes something you can, like, for example, if you can't work out in a day, if it bothers you so much where you don't even have an enjoyable day, then it's an issue.
But then it's like, I just feel good after. Cause it's like that balance, you know, where it's like, okay, is it the endorphins or am I just like, you know?
Right.
So when you say issue though, is it an eating disorder issue? Like, what is the category of an eating disorder?
Great question. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of different, the spectrum is huge because I feel like majority of people have disordered eating with their either relationship with their body or relationship with food, the scale. There's so many different things. This is such a hot topic because, I mean, I've been working in the eating disorder field for 18 years and I work at USC as a sports dietitian there, and I run a program for healthy body image and eating. And I also work for the LA Kings. So it's so interesting. I have a very vast, you know, different way of looking at this from an athlete perspective of the obsession of exercising and looking a certain way to perform. And then you have, you know, when you're done being an athlete or just like the, my normal clients that I see in my private practice, they feel like if they're not controlling it, they're going to be out of control or they're not going to look the way they want to. So it's easier for them to get on a scale multiple times a day. It's easier for them to make sure they're working out, you know, to compensate for what if they had a cookie that day. So then it becomes unhealthy. So there's a difference between I exercise because it makes me feel good, or I check my weight once in a while to see, you know, kind of what my body's doing.
See, I don't have a scale. So that's what's weird because we're like the opposite in that.
But you're still obsessive over something.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm like. So that's like.
But that's why I'm like, why don't I care what I weigh?
They're the same even though they're different.
Right.
But it's not, I don't think it's that you care about what you weigh. I think it's, I mean, there is something to be said when you're obsessed to work out. Because you do, you're not in a good mood when you don't work out.
Yeah.
So.
So that is a problem. So again, like, and here's, so.
But it's like, I'll go eat, like. It's not like, oh, I eat this much, so
Sarah,
I need to
wait,
work
time,
out.
Time out. I'm going to call you out right now.
Oh, this is good.
Okay, we don't eat together.
Honor system.
Sarah.
No.
When I asked you to eat and you're like, I'm not eating.
Eating right now.
I'm not eating right now is
okay,
literally
but, like,
the quote.
That's a mild joke.
That's not a joke, though, because you literally would not eat. You said you said that you'd have one meal a day.
Ooh.
Okay, but that's a joke.
It's not a joke because you actually didn't
eat. But if I was, look. It's not like I'm like skin and bone.
I feel like you're definitely.
Not, yeah.
But I think that for me, I would rather. For me, I would rather
Michael's
work
just loving this right now.
My popcorn out right
no,
now.
For me, I'd rather work out than not eat. Does that make sense?
But that's not healthy.
Right. Exactly.
You have to. You have to have food to get your body to work out.
No. That's what I said. Like, I like to eat. That's what I'm saying.
But you don't, though. You say you don't eat.
Okay, like,
and I don't
when I'm in a mood.
But why? Why is
the intervention?
No, because I know. No, because it's like a mood thing. Like, I know that. Like, sometimes I'm like, ew, I'm just like cranky or like something's going on. So I'm like, I'm just like annoyed. And
so you don't want to eat when you're like that.
When I'm unhappy, I don't have an appetite. So I'm the opposite of someone who's like, oh my God, I'm eating my feelings. I'm the opposite.
Sure. And that happens.
And I found that out years. I know that about me. I am someone who, when I'm not in a good place, I'm like, I don't feel good, but I'm not working out either.
Right.
So.
Right. And that can happen. And that's good that you know that about yourself.
Yeah, I do know that.
Right. In terms of, I mean, exercise, what I would do is recommend you forcing yourself to have a day off.
Yeah. No, I definitely do at time, but I'm just like, ugh, I wish I worked out, you know?
And then just, and you have to sweat. That's the other thing too. Because some people.
No.
Okay. That's good.
I don't have
to
sweat.
So you can just go outside, go for a walk.
Yeah. I don't have to sweat. I just have to be, and also maybe it's like an ADD thing. I don't know. I just have to be like, going,
moving, yeah, moving, doing something.
Yeah, because that's weird. I don't have to sweat.
So back to the kind of thing, like, would you categorize that? Like, what is the window for what an eating disorder is? Like, would that be categorized as?
Not necessarily. No, I mean,
certainly the obsession is a problem. Like if it's taking away something for your life, for example, if you have to go pick up a friend at the airport and you're like, I don't know if I should because I have that exercise class that I have to go to. Like
No. That's
a lot of my clients that I see that they will, like that trumps everything. Like they won't do certain things because that's the time to work out. Or if they don't work out, they really do obsess about it all day long and it really bothers them. That would be, you know, along the disordered type of mentality with
it's
their
not
body
there.
Or
I'd say
with
it's more of like
control.
Yeah, it's not there yet.
Yeah.
So no, it's not there.
I'm glad you came on because I had a listener DM me that was really upset about the last podcast because they were very shocked how I could promote an unhealthy habit, which I wasn't promoting it. Someone came on to promote their diet. Uh-huh. And I didn't agree with the diet, but you know, I didn't want to be rude. I didn't want to sit there and be like, well, I could never do that. But basically they said to not eat within 16 hours.
Right. Intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
And I just, from your perspective, you know, because this person hadn't eaten, it's like, how could you promote that to people that have? I'm like, I'm not promoting that.
Right.
You know, we have guests on that come on to promote their things. And, you know, I never put like my stamp of approval on that because I don't agree with that. And mm-hmm. that's something that I couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
As from someone from the eating disorder background, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
So definitely no one should be doing that if they've had an eating disorder or they have any kind of disordered way of thinking around food. I've had clients who've done that and are successful but have never had an eating disorder. They do it for other reasons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I would agree with you. For the majority of people, that doesn't work for them at mm-hmm. all. So if it becomes something that they, again, are obsessed with or already restrictive, this would just kind of add fuel to the fire. So I don't think it works for everybody. Do I think it works for some people and they have success over? Yes. But that's for people who probably are very overweight. They have other health issues. Like if you look at the science of it, there is science behind it. So I'm not going to say that it's not a good idea for a handful of people or for people who have a very different background than if somebody were, you know, to have an eating disorder or already in a restrictive way of thinking. This would be something they would clearly stay away from.
So what are signs to look out for? That if people are worried about maybe if they have this an eating disorder or not?
Well, that's a great question too, because I feel like this could be a whole nother series because I think majority of Los Angeles, I mean, when you talk to girls, what is the topic of conversation? Weight.
How great they look.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, you look so skinny.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, what did you do? Right. So I think there is this obsession with it and it's sad because I see a lot of young girls. So I also specialize in young kids. That are coming to my office. So 11-year-old, 12-year-old girls that I see, and I see boys as well. And obviously it starts at home. The majority of the time when I see kids, I'll talk to the mom or dad first and see what's going on. And I know you have a daughter as well.
That's
and
what I was
going to
say.
Like,
what
young.
Do we say that we shouldn't do? Because, I mean,
you think you can hide it from them and you can't. So that's the first thing. So if you're eating, like if I see a mom and she's like, yes, but I'm, you know, 47 and, you know, I can't eat carbohydrates like my daughter should. So I just eat, you know, steamed spinach and eggs and I just don't eat the carbs, but I always make her pasta. And I'm like, you don't understand. She's going to watch you and do exactly what you do, even though you're telling her, no, you need them, honey, you're growing. No. So honestly, you have to be really normal, quote unquote, with your food and body as well. If you say just in passing, like, oh, these pants on me look so fat, or even though you don't think she's paying attention, it's so interesting. All my clients, when I start opening up and they start talking, all the little snippets that they get from, you know, obviously social media and commercials and stuff like that, but definitely at home. So you even having a scale out at all is not a healthy thing. I would say,
oh my God,
put the scale.
I feel like the worst mom ever because I'll like weigh myself and then she'll be like, my turn. I know.
Oh.
And I know. And but she's only done it like twice. But now I'm like, the two times I'm like, oh my God, I'm never letting her step on that ever again because I don't want her to think that like she has to like weigh herself.
Yeah. So if
she's three.
Okay. So if this is gives you any kind of motivation to put the scale away and not
no,
do
100%,
this,
I'm burning
her.
It.
It's her for sure. Because they will,
or can I just hide it from her?
I'll throw it out for you.
I would just not. We should talk about this though, because I used to be exactly like that. In fact, I used to travel with the scale, like when we go on
100%.
Vacation.
Yeah.
So this is a whole like that could be another whole hour we can just talk about how crazy you can get. But when you ask me like what are the signs to look for, it's when it starts to become where I have clients who are like, I'm not going to go to Cabo or on vacation because I don't feel good in a swimsuit. I'm like, you're missing out on that time with your friends and that those memories because you don't feel good in a swimsuit. That's sad. Mm-hmm. When you're sitting there calculating your calories and your macros, and it becomes like the first thing you think about when you get up and the last thing you think about before you go to bed.
Well, so what if it's, what if that person just wants to lose weight though?
But there's so many ways to do it that without are having healthy to count calories, that you don't have calories to count calories. Your guest that you had on when you did talk about the scale, I really liked her. I felt like she had exactly what I promote too, which is the hunger scale. And really there's things that will always stay true, which is if you eat when you're hungry and you stop when you're satisfied, you exercise a good amount of time, maybe 5 days a week for a good hour. And you
I don't have time to do that.
No?
5 days a week? 5 days a week?
4 to 5 times a week?
Oh.
You don't exercise? Like 4 to 5? You don't move your body.
I've got 2 kids. I don't know how
Well, that's
like,
moving your
time.
Body. Okay. But that's right. You're probably busy with them. It's like, it's just not sitting here like you're doing right now on a date. Like you have to be moving your body.
We don't have office jobs.
That's probably a better way of saying it.
All right.
And then you have to watch your stress and you need to be sleeping and drinking water.
What about
those
wine?
Things?
Drinking wine.
That's totally fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, not every day. I mean, you can. One glass is fine. Okay. But when you ask me about like how do people control their weight in a healthy way, that's the key. Listening to their body, regular exercise, drinking lots of water, ideally learning how to deal with stress, like meditation, and sleep, and just surround yourself with good energy. And honestly, those are the keys.
What have you seen? You work with a lot of collegiate and professional athletes, right?
And Michael was a former
I played in the NFL for a while.
Awesome.
And what have you seen? Have you dealt with many athletes kind of transitioning from sport into kind of quote unquote normal real life? And
yes,
I've had a struggle. It's not as much now, but especially when I first retired, where I was eating the same, but obviously I'm not burning the same amount of calories. Like what kind of tips or tricks or advice do you have? Like even now I still have a struggle with it, but just kind of for those former athletes kind of transitioning into, you know, normal day life where you're not doing that. You can't eat the same amount of carbs and protein over and over and over again. Like what are...
That's a great question. So we, before all of our athletes leave, so our senior athletes, we have this huge, basically seminar where they understand how to cook. So I teach cooking classes, grocery shopping skills, like what are you looking for? You know, how to make easy, quick meals, and then really learning to readjust, listening to their body. So they're so conditioned to eat a certain way. Oh, so it's a habit, right? Because they're exercising and burning so many calories. So we really sit down and try to help them figure this out, which is you need to not stop thinking that you can just get away with eating multiple like cheeseburgers and french fries or eating late at night because you're going to go burn it off the next morning in weights and in practice or whatever. So it's psychological first. It, you know, realizing that, okay, you're not going to have as much output. So here's what you need to do. And you need to make sure you're planning ahead. So those are the kind of people that for sure, when they're getting into the work life, that they need to batch cook. And I teach them sort of how to do that. So how do you have things in the refrigerator that you can take to work? And then you need to be eating instead of eating a lot of carbohydrates. So it's the flip. It's like instead of add those extra carbohydrates, you add in more vegetables. So more vegetables, moderate carb, moderate protein versus a good, and I have plates that I show them so like they can get a good visual of like, okay, here's what your plate looks like now. Here's what it needs to look like as you transition. But there needs to be a conversation because as you can see, a lot of people who are either get injured or who leave their sport have a lot of weight issues that leads to depression, that leads to heart issues and cholesterol and other, you know, kind of disastrous things that can happen. So there's a huge amount of education that we give to our athletes about that.
That's great, especially for seniors going off into the real world. And even, I mean, but that's the thing, athletes, you know, even in college and then in the professional level, your meals are basically provided for you.
Exactly.
So even when I left the NFL, it's like, all right, I could cook a little bit, but I, proportionally, and so it's hard to cook for one person at the time. And I was still eating the same thing. I was still eating a lot of carbs and pastas and meats and all that all the time where it's, I mean, our first like year and a half together, I was still like my playing weight. And I was like, there's no reason for me to be 250 pounds.
Right.
Like it was brutal.
And that's another thing too. That's the skill too for athletes versus a non-athlete. I will tell you one of the biggest issues is eating slower. So my athletes, because they have to get to class or they have to like, they're shoving food in.
Oh, yeah.
So when they learn how to transition, I'm like, okay, I want you to actively set your
how
fork
though
down.
With our two kids, I'm like, I'm trying to feed, and like he'll have a couple bites. I'm feeding Jace, and I'm like, hey, then he's like, I'll take him so you can have a couple bites. Why? Well, because we, you know, it just always falls at the same time. And then Jolie, I'm like, sit down, sit like a big girl, eat your food. No, Jolie, don't put your hands in, use your fork. Like, I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like shoving, and then I don't even remember how it tasted because right. I just ate it so fast. Right. That is a constant every night.
It is
night
very
battle.
Hard. I have two kids as well. I mean, it's very difficult. The transition of now from athlete to non-athlete to then parent, that's like a whole nother thing. It is challenging, but I would say, you know, at least you have a plate of food. Don't be standing. So I have what's called Christie's rules, which are really interesting. Don't like stand. One is no standing and eating.
But that's like
I
my
stand.
Life. My
and so, too, and I don't even have kids and I stand and eat.
When you're gone, I do. Like when we don't have family dinners, I stand.
Yeah. Or that, you know, yeah.
But I get the whole thing of trying to balance, you know, one kid on your lap and trying to eat and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. Try to be as mindful as you can. It's not going to be perfect, and you got to give yourself some grace, and that those moments are just like, it is what it is. But when you have the time and you can sit and you can just relax, to not try to be distracted by your phone or anything else, but to really just
no phones at the
eat.
Table.
That's great. That's a great rule.
Massive
that's what
rule.
We have too.
What's yeah. the worst food that you can, is that proper? We're the worst food? What's the worst thing you can put in your body?
There is nothing like that. No such thing. That is my firm belief.
I love that.
Wait, all in moderation. And I'll tell you why. A salad doesn't make somebody healthy, and a cheeseburger is not going to make somebody unhealthy, right? So, whether
like
you go to a fair,
or
yeah,
like that.
Exactly. I think people get so like, oh my God, that has carrageenan in it, or it has whatever. And I was like, so what? So the reality is, when I'm at, you know, when I go to Disneyland and my kids want to eat some whatever caramel apple, I know that it's not made with mm-hmm. the best ingredients, but I'm gonna eat it because it's fun and I'm with them and I want to be just like let go. For the majority of the time, I eat really healthy and clean, and some of the time I eat things that are just because. So there's not one food that's going to make you unhealthy, just like there's not one food that's going to make you healthy. It's really about the balance between the two, honestly.
Moderation.
I love it.
Like
no,
everything
that's
in
really
everything.
Moderation. What about for Jolie though? So my fear is, and I don't ever want to portray this on her, but what if, because childhood obesity is
a real thing,
a real thing.
Yes.
And I don't want to be the super strict mom where she's so heightened about her weight, but at the same time, I don't want her to be obese either. So I'm like, what is the balance that I walk without making her feel like she has to be thin,
right?
But also, so I don't know how to walk
that. It's a great question. And I love this topic because I think kids right now are so confused because either they're getting these mixed messages or they have parents that. So I go into my kids' class, his fourth grade class, and mm-hmm. I teach a weekly. They really need to be educated. That's the bottom line. You have to educate them. You have to help them move, and not to shame them about eating sugar, but just like with my kids. It's like when they're hungry, when they come home, I have a plate of fresh vegetables, some fruit, maybe some almonds, instead of like, oh, you want another bag of Pirate's Booty. Oh, you want another thing of Goldfish. Like,
wait, is Pirate's Booty bad?
No, not at all. But
our go-to.
No, but I'm just saying, like, when you have those opportunities and they're hungry, that's the best way to get some fruits and vegetables in them because they're hungry. And
they'll eat anything.
So,
which we do.
So it's trying to just give them, it's like, you know what, let's start with fruits and vegetables first. And then, yeah, if you want Pirate's Booty or Goldfish or whatever it is, but I feel like taking, you don't want to also over snack them. And I think that's a big problem. And I'll always ask my kids, like, are you physically hungry or you just want to eat because you're watching something or because you, you know, so it's just those types of little bits of education or wandering into the kitchen and starting to go in the pantry and start eating something. Like, no, put it on a plate. Let's go sit down, eat your snack and then move on. So just developing those kinds of good habits. Once in a while, I'll let them eat, you know, on the couch, but really making the table a place where they eat their food and their snacks, and then moving on to play whatever versus like foods all over the house. You know what I mean? So,
well, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it. I love all the insight that you gave us and our listeners. Where can they find you?
Thank you so much. It's at kmsportsnutrition.com.
Okay. Awesome.
Wonderful.
Great.
Thank you, Christy.
Jesus.
What's wrong?
It's coming at me.
Oh, I did, didn't yeah, I?
It's fine.
No, but I just, you know.
No, it's not. It's not anything.
Michael just loves it because
sitting
it's usually
in the corner,
yeah.
Like,
how does it feel?
And I'm over here like, oh man.
Michael's all excited about that.
Yeah,
part.
He was super pumped about that.
It's not me heat this time.
Ugh. But I just, you know, we had a specialist here. She's amazing, and the, when you say you don't eat,
oh my god, eye roll. Okay.
Oh. Well, I love you and I care about you.
I know.
And that was a slight Sarah intervention.
Yeah, it was nothing I didn't. Like, I know. You know?
Like, you know that it's unhealthy?
I know. What the? Yeah, whatever.
You love me.
I'm going to work out after this. So.
No. Of course. No, but I loved her and I love that her. She basically, because I figured she'd say like a preservative's bad for you or something, you know,
it's funny
but
I
loved
really,
her inside.
I agree with that. I'm the same. I'm like, okay, this cookie's not going to kill. You know what I mean? I like.
I love it
was.
Because I'm a big believer in everything's okay in moderation.
Exactly, that's
like,
how I am.
I love that because everyone freaks out so much. This is going to cause cancer. This is going to cause cancer. Well,
you know okay, what? Maybe I'm a little.
Life is going to cause cancer.
Yeah, yeah. So. No, I agree with you though. It's like anything, everything in moderation right. In life in general.
We definitely want to have Christy back though. So if you guys have any questions around eating, nutrition, health, please email us at winedown@iheartradio.com, and that's wine WHINE. All right. So bless you, Tori. So I kind of want to wrap up the college conversation that we talked about earlier, but I want to wrap it up with my girlfriend, Leslie. She's been on the podcast before and she has her take on it. Leslie, you there, boo?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, Leslie.
Hi.
So we were kind of talking, obviously we had texted a little bit about this yesterday and, you know, Sarah has kind of her opinion from the kid side about how she would be upset with her parents if you know, her parents paid for them. And then I'm kind of on the side where, you know, I would do anything for my child, you know, although I feel bad for the kid that is working so hard to get there. And, but I'm also torn. So I'm just kind of curious from another mom's perspective, what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah. Well, so this is like not in the, you know, this is not far off for us. Sean's going to be there in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, I guess from a pure parent standpoint, I want the best for my kid. Mm-hmm. I just do. I want the best of everything. And I can see how somebody would be motivated. I can see how a parent would be motivated to give their kid that extra edge. Now, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying I totally see the motivation. And I get it. I'm there.
Now, Leslie, what if I feel like there's two sets of motivation. There's one is like you're saying, you want the best for your kid. The second is with some of these people being, whether it's celebrity or high-end executives, where their motivation could be they just want to be able to say that their child goes to the Ivy League school or goes to their alma mater because they couldn't get in. Like, do you think there's mm-hmm. a big difference in, you know, which motivation is better or does it really matter because they're still doing the same action to get them in?
I think my motivation is better. I think wanting the best for my kid is better than being able to say, well, my kid went to Harvard. That's not what I'm in it for. You know, like my motivation is to make sure that Sean and Drew get the best possible that they can in life.
Do you feel bad for the kid that has worked his butt off that doesn't have the money that would be taking that kid's your kid's spot?
Dog eat dog world, baby.
But okay,
I do.
What my question? Hi, it's Sarah. my question, or like my argument is, okay, so you know that this is illegal, and you know there's a chance. Just don't. Aren't you thinking big picture for your kids? Like, okay, I might go to jail because I did this. So. You're hurting your child at the end of the day. Because what if your child goes a year, even if your child goes 6 months without a parent because you're in prison?
Yeah.
Allegedly. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like,
often do people think that far ahead when the consequences of their actions?
What do you mean?
Well, so, like, you know, here's the thing though. Like, I would kill somebody for my kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I would totally go to jail for that and I'd have no problem with it. I would. That's the whole
well, that seems
mama bear
normal.
Side.
Like, I feel like I would beat someone up for, you know, I get that part, but this is such like a, it's not funny, but it's almost just like, what? Like, you spent $1 million so that your child could go to another, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that necessary?
Yeah.
I think when you, I think when you have a kid, though,
home.
I mean, maybe not. I don't know, but maybe you might have a different. I mean,
no, well, I get that. Everyone, I would do everything for my kid. I get that. That mm-hmm. I understand. Mm-hmm. I would kill someone for Ty. I get that. But
you
I'm
just
saying
to Ty to your kid.
Well, no, I'm saying like because I don't have a child, so he's the
he's
next
the closest thing. Okay.
So I get that, but like, I don't. What I don't understand. I would be, if my mom went to jail, I wouldn't recover.
See, I think you're able to see the back end of it because you don't have a kid. So you're thinking of,
I'm putting myself
the whole picture
as a,
as a parent. You're thinking of like right now because you want to do what's best for your kid yeah. right now. You're not thinking of what can possibly happen.
This is not going to be a popular opinion, but does college really matter that much?
Yeah.
What, I didn't go.
What school? What
I didn't
school?
Go.
What school? My child so is going why... to college, but what school does that, does
well,
that
if,
Yale
what if
really matter?
What if your child says no though?
Then that's fine.
But I think Yale does really matter, or that's because people would get better jobs, right, if they go to that.
But these
higher
children
college.
Are going to fly. One of the alleged had like a 2.3. So you're telling me that you have a 2.3 well, GPA, but now you got into so and so, you're not graduating.
Well, but Sarah, to your point, so there's a kid from my hometown right now who's got a 1.7, and he's going to Notre Dame on a football scholarship.
But that makes sense because they're athletes. These people are fake athletes, so they're not.
But
getting...
he doesn't belong. But he doesn't belong there.
Whoa, that's
get...
that's kind of that was my whole thing that we were talking about earlier. Was that the whole issue with this whole scenario? Is that this guy was taking scholarship like student athlete scholarships. So like I was telling Sarah and everyone in here is I wouldn't have gotten into JMU if it wasn't for football. So these kids, they're taking scholarships away from kids that really need it even more because that's the only way they're going to be able to get the education that they want to get by using their athletic skills.
Mike, did these kids get scholarships? The one who was supposedly on the crew team, I don't think she got a scholarship. It just got her application bumped.
Yeah.
I don't think she was given any scholarship dollars.
No, she wasn't given money, but I think it takes a spot.
It's still a student athlete spot.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, you're him and
because I didn't get a scholarship coming out of college. I was a walk on, but it was still a
that's
student.
What they were taking. They were taking
still,
walk on positions.
It was still a student athlete spot. The reason I got in was because of athletics. So they still went under. They got into that school under the false pretense of them being a student athlete.
Mark, what are your thoughts?
I have a lot of thoughts on this. When I first heard this all coming out, my thought was, of course, I would do anything for my kid, and mm-hmm. I would never think I would go to jail
and
for
I
it.
And I get that.
Then when I hear about, okay, so here's how we're gonna pretend your child is learning disabled so they can get longer to do their SAT, and then they're going to change their score anyway. That's when I would have really pulled the ripcord mm-hmm. at that point, because then it's like, okay, that's... This feels wrong and right. seedy, but
yeah,
as far as worrying about who's going to jail, I would never have considered that because you never hear about it. You never hear about these parents going to jail for what they do.
No.
And why didn't they just give the money to the university and pay for a wing of a library or something?
Well, that's what we kind of talked about earlier. You have boosters.
Right. Yeah. So that's a good point. Someone asked me yesterday. So how, you know, it's different than if someone buys a wing for Harvard and gets their kid in, you know, so now it's just above board. You're still buying your kid's way into college.
There's no guarantee, I think, which is the problem. And this man was 100%. I even read his quote. He was like, in 900 students, like, I'm 100% guaranteed.
Wow.
So, like, you have to give...
He's batting 1,000.
Allegedly, you have to give, like, 5 million plus to ensure that your child... Like, I mean, 5 million plus, like, to a building or a library or a whatever. Like, these people were just, not that it's not that much, but they were giving, you know, 15, 20, 500.
000, yeah.
What's frustrating is it's never been a level playing field for everybody.
Well, that's the thing.
Ever.
Even with radio playing your song, you have you have to do, you know, payola and all those things. And now you can't do payola, but now it's like you need to do these many things and do this in order to have your one song played. So what
have
is
you done for me lately?
Or it's like, hey, in the acting world, it's like, well, my, you know, my dad is this person, and so I'm going to get in this movie because he knows this person. Or I'm like, what is the freaking difference?
Right. It's all who you know. Well, wealth gets you privilege in so many ways. It's never been an even playing field. And then they're still gaming the system on top of the uneven playing field.
People are mad. It's like, you already have an advantage. Like, right. These people already have. I think that if we found out it was different families doing this, we might feel differently.
But the thing is, too, if your family was in that position, wouldn't you want to utilize your resources and maximize them as much as you could? Anyone would.
Yeah.
Just like anything, you get a job, it's about who you know and what you know and all that stuff.
I get it. I'm like, I just feel bad for these kids. I know that's
what would
a
you
weird...
think Drew or Sean would feel, Leslie?
If we did that for them
mm-hmm.
and got caught.
if you guys got caught, but they found out that you guys did that for them to get in. Do you think they would feel
the way that Sarah is saying, like that you like, oh, you don't think I'm smart enough to get in there?
Yeah, I mean, I know Sean, and he'd be pissed.
Yeah,
he'd be pissed.
Yeah.
I think
Drew, he'd probably be like, "Yeah,
all right, cool." Okay. Thanks, Mom.
And I'm sure that's how half of them are. Half of them probably care, and half of them probably don't. But now it's just the embarrassed. I mean, now it's kind of embarrassed, you know. These kids are not.
Yeah, now it's embarrassing. No, you're absolutely right, Sarah.
There's no way these kids can show up for class today.
Yeah, because now all the other kids are going to look at them and be like, I worked my ass off to get in here, right. And you paid to get in here. Like, get out of here.
But by what?
Well,
a couple
you guys,
points?
One girl, the girl who got into USC, she is on her YouTube channel saying, yeah, I don't know how often I'm going to go to class.
Yeah.
That would piss me off.
Yeah. That's Lori Loughlin's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
that one kind of like, you know, she's again partying up on a yacht. So I'm.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm like, is USC that hard to get into?
I watched a funny thing and she was like, you people are doing this for USC? Like, yeah, do it for Harvard and Yale.
Stanford. Like Stanford.
But the thing is, they're not doing it for their kids. They're doing it for themselves.
Thank you. Right. That's what I said. Thank you.
Right. That's where I'm thinking.
But then I'm thinking too, like, again, like if Jolie came to, if your daughter came to and said, Mom, I really want, but I just don't, I'm like, okay, well, let me see what I can do. Because I want the best for her. And if that's where she wants to go, I would do anything for her.
The question is why? Is it because she wants that great education, okay, maybe, but if it's because my friends are going there, or it's because they have the best
social stops.
It's gonna look so good on Instagram because that this Olivia Jade person, I guarantee you, she has different motivations.
I mean, but
there are some kids that are young enough that are insightful at a young age that want to go to a certain school because of the education. So if that was the case with any of our kids,
but it's just like life. It's like you're not like I don't know. It just is like a whole.
You're story. Not. Life's not fair. You're not.
No. It's just like I mean, I got rejected. I don't know. It just like teaches. I don't know. It's like, is that what they want to teach their kids? Like,
we try to shield our kids from all failure, and now it's kind of become all negative experiences of any kind. Well, but I'm guilty of it.
Yes, but then also, too, you know, what I've kind of experienced with Jolie is, you know, people are being so mean to her. Even there was a comment on our podcast saying, why don't you pay attention to your daughter? She's 3 years old and acting like one. Like, she has a speech.
Why don't you go shut the F up? She has a speech delay.
Yes, I haven't been public about that because I'm like, but she's three and we have a speech therapist coming over. But I'm like, but now you're like bullying my child. Mm-hmm. So now I don't feel like I'm a good, I'm like, when I feel like I failed my daughter somehow. Did I not, you know, I don't know. But I want her to have the best chances of doing good in school. So I would pay anything to make sure that she's not being bullied and she's going to be properly educated. And
of course, and those are normal situations, I think, and you don't even want your kid to be bullied for any reason.
Yeah.
But like, you know, stuff like, you know, my daughter went out for a musical last year for Aladdin and she got Jasmine, and there's part of me that was like, you know, it might have been a good learning experience if she hadn't gotten Jasmine. She gets all A's. Humbled. And part of me is like, gosh, if she got a B every once in a while, it might kind of help a little bit because she's setting these incredibly high standards for herself and we're guilty of setting those standards.
Well, and Leslie, do you want to speak on your thing at all or no? And I understand if you don't want to.
Yeah, no, I'll just say that I had a rough mom day yesterday, and it's in the grand scheme of things, I'm not going to go into details, but in the grand scheme of things, it's no big deal. But for me, it felt like a total parenting fail because it was something that I was doing that was enabling behavior. And when I got called out on it, called out isn't really the right word. When it was brought to my attention, I was like, oh, like that's all me. That's mm-hmm. me. Like, I did that.
I feel like that's inevitable.
But, how these parents, but what about when, like, Sean didn't make the soccer team? Like, did you feel, would you have...
Oh, my God. Would you... guys, that was... Go ahead.
But like, yeah, would you have brutal. Paid the coach to be like, hey, I want him on the team?
No.
But it's the same thing.
But yeah, then, no, I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't. And I'm not saying that I would pay to get him into Harvard or Yale. I'm not saying that I would do that. I'm saying I can totally see the motivation.
Right.
Would I love to talk to the coach and say, hey, dude, like, you missed a really good player. Like, he's a strong player. Yes, I would love to. And the coach even wrote an email and said, hey, if you want to know what he needs to work on, feel free to reach out. Mm-hmm. And I was so close to doing it. And I thought, you know what? I'm not, because Sean needs to own that. If Sean wants to know why he didn't make the team, he needs to own that. But I'm not going to say that I didn't sit down and craft an email and then delete it.
Yeah. I mean, my heart would be broken, though, if Jolie auditioned for something or tried out for something and didn't get it.
Right.
I would be bawling for her.
Yeah, but I would never address the teacher or the coach, because there's never been a kid that has gotten the spot on a team because a parent went after the fact and talked to a coach or talked to a teacher.
And then it just,
that
like,
has never
embarrasses
happened.
The kid.
But are you going to be so upset if Jolie tries out for, let's say she tries out for soccer and doesn't make the soccer team?
You're not good enough.
Yeah, it'll suck.
Absolutely, it'll suck. I'll feel for her. But
like,
it's
how
a,
do
it's
you?
But we all went
that.
Through that.
Yeah,
we all went
like,
through that,
look
and
at
we're
you.
Fine.
You're going like,
and
you're
the
best
cheerleading team guy.
No, but I'm saying you're
why you hate cheerleaders.
You're the best example of it right now, because every day you're doing on. You know what I mean? Like, you're still strong and resilient,
that's
and
true,
so she
but
can
it's
look
my
at
child.
That.
And I just want. I know
we need to build resilience in our children.
Yeah.
My mom
just wants everything for them.
We just want to wrap them in bubble wrap. I realize that, but.
It's hard.
It's not good
guys.
Long term.
It's not.
It is hard. It is. And when you see them disappointed,
I'm not ready for that.
You know, I even said to Chris, I'm like, why does it bother me so much that he got cut from the team? Why do I care? So why am I so invested? It shouldn't matter to me, but it does, because he was so bummed. But you know what? To that kid's credit, he looked at me. He goes, I'm trying out again next year.
I love that.
And I thought to myself, good for you, because me, I would have been like,
but look, Leslie, look at that, though. That's a win for you and Chris.
Yeah, that says a lot.
That is a win for you guys. The fact that he's willing to take that on the chin and say, you know what, next year I'm going out. Not, I'm going to quit soccer forever, never going to play. So hang your hat on that. That's a win for you guys.
Leslie, thank you for letting us call you. I just wanted, you know, another mom opinion, but love your face.
We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Love you guys. Okay. Yeah, see you tomorrow.
All right. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right. Well, I think the end of the day is we all agree that we just need to
do anything.
Unwrap the bubble wrap.
Unwrap the bubble wrap.
As hard as it is.
Like, even when she falls, I'm like,
I'll
no.
I'll fight a kid. Actually, no, Jana will fight a kid.
Time out. My girlfriend, I know we need to wrap this up, but my girlfriend, Julie, was touring a school. And a kid said, do you remember what he said?
Yeah, he called her son like a dweeb. Like,
a dweeb.
Dweeb.
And if somebody does that in front of my face, like, what am I going to do? Oh, guys, what a heated show. If you have any thoughts about all of this, please email us at winddown@iheartradio.com. Big thank you to Joybird. Go to joybird.com/Jana and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code Jana.
Sleep Number, you only find... Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com/Jana and find the nearest one to you.
Nearest Lola for 40% off all subscription. Visit mylola.com and enter Jana when you subscribe. This is a really fun show.
This is
good.
Intense.
I like this.
Stay tuned.
Oh, we're back there.
Because I'm bold.
Oh my God.
Okay. And you don't know Seven Rings? Go listen.
Goodbye, guys.
Not like that one.